are very welcome along to another episode of the Gaelic Statsman podcast. I'm your host, Matt Hurley. And on today's show, we're going to preview all the club action this weekend. There's very sparse club games this weekend. Obviously, it's coming to a close and nearly every championship's come to a close. The provincial championships are nearly done as well. There's some semi-finals this weekend, so we'll know the finalists of some club championships this weekend, in provincial terms at least. And I'm delighted to be joined again by Seamus Brady from Clare to discuss this weekend's action and the weekend Gaelic games in general. So how's the farm, Seamus? Like, the new Dublin jerseys come out. We'll talk about that in a sec. And it's kind of a feeling that the club season's nearly coming to an end. And then we're going to go into Sigerson Cup, it's Skibbin Cup. You have schools competitions. And of course, you have the intercounty season right around the corner too.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on again, Matthew. It's all coming really fast, isn't it? I mean, like, you talk about the league isn't even a million miles away, and the Sigerson Cup and the Fitzgibbon Cup and everything like that, and then it gets into what I believe is the most built up part of the year, January, February, where you have multiple players playing four different competitions at the same time and stuff like this. So very interesting to see how they'll manage it out calendar wise, fixture wise for the next couple of months, because it's going to be absolute carnage. But sparse enough this weekend, but that just means we get to look at the games more in depth. We get to analyse more different scenarios that we think could happen. And it gives these players, I think, more stage light on their efforts and on their achievements to get to this point of the championship. So I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. I mean, when there's a million different fixtures to preview and review, I feel like we have to almost run through a lot of them very quickly in order to get to all of them, whereas now we can really dig in to all the action which is coming up this weekend. I'm really looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And before we get into the action, we'll talk about the weekend Gaelic games. And it's kind of sparse this week. There was a lot of stories last week. Even we missed a few stories last week. I just realised after we recorded, I forgot that Liam McHale was appointed Mayo LGFA manager. But look, that's last week. No, I'm sorry to any Mayo fans that offend you for missing that story. But we'll go on to this week's stories in the weekend Gaelic games. And we'll start off with probably a feel-good photo this week. And what I call Scruffy. The dog. So I'll show you a photo for this week. This was obviously the game between Trillick and Cross McGlynn last Saturday night. And what a photo, really. A screenshot of a clip on RT. And yeah, it's great to have dog the pitch. And as I said previously, we might as well call him Scruffy, Seamus, because he seems a good dog, all right? Like, even the players didn't have to carry him off or anything. He just walked off himself. So that's great to see too.
Yeah, of course. They made a little brief appearance, busy dog and such, and showed the face and left. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I think it was what's rare is wonderful, that type of thing. And like, it immediately got flashbacks to when the dog got on the pitch in the Ireland versus Australia game all those years ago and caused absolute mayhem. That is it. And that just kind of, it's a bit of a moment where everybody likes those moments, like, and they're the moments that go down in history, like the moments where things didn't go kind of the way that they were supposed to go, or issues like that. And a dog being on the pitch is hilarious, because like, it's just the most bizarre scenario that you can draw up. And like, I feel like that is a funny moment, and there will be, I'm sure it will be in all the reels and the clips of, you know, summarizing the year of 2023. And like, yeah, I really enjoyed it. And Scruffy, good dog. As I said, fleeting visit, busy dog and such. But yeah, definitely brightened up the game for me.
There was an argument there that says that dog looked like a sheepdog. So maybe he was just rounding up the players to go in a defensive formation. What do you think about that?
Well, that's it. I mean, you could make the point that a lot of GA players think like sheep nowadays, that like just hand pass, hand pass, hand pass, hand pass. So I mean, maybe the sheepdog was coming on to round them all up. But very, very interesting. And look, the conditions that day weren't great, which definitely contributed to the game being low scoring. I don't necessarily think that both sides are very defensive. I think the conditions definitely played a role in the game being very difficult to score. But that dog, really funny that dog managed to kind of end up where it did. Like, how did it end up getting up out there? And it's a wonder that doesn't happen more often, especially at like club games where it's in the local park and stuff like that. Like, it was very rare that a dog did get on the field.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's probably because he's seen the floodlights. Like, Dar Maloney actually said in the clip as well that the dog seen the floodlights. It was a magnificent job at Healy Park, and maybe the dog was there to admire that. But yeah, enough about the jokes anyway about the dog. But it is a feel good story, it really is, and we all need that in the GA. And I suppose we'll go to a not so good story in feel good terms, but we have to credit this guy for the commitment he gave to Armagh GAA and Cross McLean in general. Aaron Curran retired from club duty with Cross McLean after their defeat to Trillick 9-4 last Saturday. And I'll read out some of his achievements here. This is just some of the county titles he's won in Cross McLean colours. 18 county titles in Armagh Senior Football Championships. 8 Ulster Club Senior Football Championships, 3 All-Ireland Club Medals as well with Cross McLean Rangers. Probably one of the best club players we've ever seen in Aaron Curran, and he's nearly 40 years of age. He's 40 now in December. So, and he's still a card off the ball, and the football pod lads were saying that he's going to join some coaching setup next year as well with Cross McLean. So he's not done necessarily in terms of helping around the club. So he's a legend for Cross McLean, legend for Armagh. He only retired from Armagh duty in 2014, but he's still a legend even 10 years later. And what a player.
Oh, yeah, like absolutely outstanding player. And I think the way he played the game from wing back, he was always such an attacking player, very exciting to watch. Just such a smart Gaelic footballer, and like really, really always was one of my favourite players growing up. Like just the way, the style he played in. And like into his later career, like his mentality is one of those things that like you can look at that and say that that's why the GAA is so strong. Like his mentality is clearly to give back to his club. His mentality is clearly to return to those people that gave him so much as well. Like, I was privileged enough to have Martin Story on for an interview on my podcast, and he said that I asked him about Eolat Dé Balla, and he was saying, you owe your club because you wouldn't have played for Wexford without your club. So when I'm finished playing with Wexford, I go back to Eolat and I do everything I can, you know, to help out. And I think that was one of the major things from that. And Aaron Curran clearly shares that viewpoint, because to go immediately after giving all that service as a player to immediately going back in into the coaching roles, just an absolutely outstanding player and outstanding servant to Cross McLean. I do genuinely believe he has to be right up there on the Mount Rushmore anyway of club players. 18 Armagh club championships. That's unbelievable. And like to wrap that up as well with 3 All-Ireland club championships, like most players, and I mean the vast majority of club players retire with no All-Ireland club championship, and I mean inter-county lads. I'm not talking about lads that just play Gaelic football. I'm talking about inter-county players. Most of them retire without a club championship so far. Curran to have 3 is absolutely insane. And yeah, I think he walks out with his head held high. Look, yeah, like on the weekend, it didn't go their way. It was a difficult game. Trillick are a hell of a side. And but I think he should walk away with his head held high because, yeah, like he's nothing left to prove. Outstanding Gaelic footballer.
Yeah, unbelievable player and unbelievable for Cross McLean in general. But before we leave the subject about Aaron Curran, there was one particular fella on Twitter. I'm sure everybody knows him at this stage because he keeps tagging everybody, including Gaelic Games contributors. And one of them is, of course, Pádraig Farrelly. And he was talking about Aaron Curran as a player. And some journalists put up his achievements in the club, which Cross McLean, 18 Armagh titles, as you mentioned there, and all that. And then his tweet back to that was, yes, it was an outstanding football career, but Aaron Curran would be disappointed not to have won an All-Ireland Senior with Armagh and never won a National All-Star Award. Winning top honours with different teams always the best football careers, a la Peter Canavan or James McCarthy, and he talks about Peter Hart and all them as well. Do you think that's harsh on Aaron Curran in a way? A lot of people think it's harsh, but I just wanted to get your opinion on Seamus, because it's kind of a controversial tweet to say that. And he was saying as well, Pádraig Farrelly, that winning an inter-county All-Ireland is much more important than winning a club All-Ireland, which I think is trash, to be honest. But what do you think of that opinion yourself?
I would say that I wouldn't put either of them above the other. I respect winning a club All-Ireland just as much as I respect winning an inter-county All-Ireland. Because, yes, you do have to be a certain standard to get onto your inter-county team, let alone play a role in an All-Ireland winning inter-county team? Like, how many people, Matthew, like, especially, like, I'd say you were the same when Cork were at their peak in 2010, and me personally watching Dublin this year, it's like the amount of guys who are on the club scene who are nowhere near the county scene that you would look at them and be like, God, you would play for most other inter-county teams. So my point is, I respect being on the inter-county panel because you've proven yourself to be the cream of the crop, like the best of the best in your county to get onto that team. But if winning an All-Ireland club title isn't to be as respected as an inter-county All-Ireland, why is it so hard to do? Why was Colin Cooper, a man who has bags of All-Irelands with Kerry, why was he bawling crying when Dr. Crokes finally got over the line? Because it's so hard to do. It's so hard to win an All-Ireland club championship. And Aaron Kernan and the Cross McGlen boys won 3. Like, do you know how unbelievable that is? That's why Curragh Finn need more respect. That's why the other teams that have, you know, won all those clubs, that's why Cross McGlen need more respect. When you look at how significant that club is as well, where they emerged from in the 90s with the, like, with the difficult situations that they came from, that club is more than a club for a lot of those lads. Kernan deserves nothing but respect. And I think, look, honestly, the aim there is to stoke a bit of controversy. To say that, you know, what? Is it Aaron Kernan's fault that Armagh went downhill? No, it's not. It's not Aaron Kernan's fault that Armagh stopped producing the Stevie McDonald's, the Kieran McGeanies. That's not his fault. They're once-in-a-generation type players. Aaron Kernan slotted in at right half-back and did an outstanding job for Armagh for years. For years. And if you're to talk about, like, if you're to use Pádraig Farrelly's logic, then you can bash multiple different players with that logic. You know what I mean? Who are you going to bash? Dermot Early? You're going to bash Lee Keegan? You're going to bash, like, all these other lads, Paddy Keenan, all these other lads who are outstanding for teams that just at that particular time didn't have a good enough team to win the All-Ireland. Should Armagh have achieved more from 2005 to 2008? Maybe, but I think there was just some very good teams around at the time. I think if they had got past Tyrone in 2005, I think they would have beaten Kerry in that All-Ireland final. But that's hindsight, and they didn't. But Aaron Kernan has Ulster medals, and Aaron Kernan has done a hell of a lot more than 99% of Gaelic footballers. So he deserves nothing but respect. And while, look, people can look at that and say, well, he never won an All-Ireland, a lot of people have not won an All-Ireland. Like, are you going to bash players like Conor McManus as well? Like, because he didn't lead Monaghan to an All-Ireland. Like, that logic, it's only the one percenters that get All-Irelands. Because Dublin and Kerry have had such a vice grip on it, as well as Tyrone, over the last 20 years.
And that's the main point of it, really. And when you look at all the other clubs as well, St. Gall's from Antrim, would their players win in inter-county All-Irelands? No. And when you look at St. Bridget's and Roscommon, because of the stranglehold, as you mentioned, with Kerry and Dublin, Tyrone sporadically as well, and Mayo, if they get their act together in finals, do you think Roscommon are going to win in All-Ireland? Probably not. Mm-hmm. So, like, those sorts of occasions, players live for. And I think, honestly, that tweet was very, very poor, to be honest. And it is the sore controversy, and the less we talk about, the better, I suppose. And the last thing we'll go on to in the week of the GA is the new Dublin jersey and their new sponsor, which is quite interesting. Obviously, they broke away from AIG. AIG sponsored Dublin since 2014, off the top of my head. I think it was, and Vote One before that. It was Ardis before that. Obviously, huge sponsors for Dublin, but they have a new one now. And I throw up the image now. So the new sponsor is Stay City. And I think this is a hotel company, I think it is. That's the new sponsor on the Dublin jersey. And you could see a Dublin lady footballer there. I'm not sure her name. Cleve O'Connor.
Yeah.
I need to recognize more ladies footballers, to be honest. But Cleve O'Connor is beside Brian Fenton in this photo. And the new Dublin jersey, it seems a bit plain. More than previous seasons, like a lot of people would have rather last season's jersey. What do you think of it yourself, Seamus, as a Dublin fan? Do you like it?
It's growing on me. My first thought when I saw the jersey was, I think it's not as nice as last year's one. Now, I really, really, really liked last year's Dublin jersey, especially in that final against Kerry. I thought the jerseys contrasted really well with each other from a fashion standpoint. This jersey, the first thought I had was that, yeah, I like it. It kind of looks a bit like a golf polo, but I like it. And it's kind of growing on me a bit. Like, the more I see it, and if Dublin have some good days in it, then it will definitely grow on me. I think it's just, I'm used to seeing AIG on the front. I'm used to seeing, you know, the like more of an emphasis on the navy colour. But I think it will grow on me as we see some success in the Dublin jersey, please God.
You had to put that in at the end, did you? But we will move swiftly on from that. Apparently, Seamus is cocky again for next season, but we will move swiftly on. We'll talk about the club action this weekend, and we'll talk about the hurling action first, which is the Munster semi-finals and the Seoul Ulster semi-final. But before that, we'll just throw up an image here of the route to the All-Ireland final now. So as you can see, the winners of the Munster Championship, which we'll talk about in just a tick, will play St. Thomas's in the semi-finals, and then you look at the Leinster champions, whoever that will be, will come up against the Ulster champions in the semi-finals. So we'll talk about that with Seamus after we predict this weekend's games. And the first of this weekend's games starts in Munster, the first of a doubleheader live on TG Carr, and we'll start off with the Tipperary champions, Kildangan, coming up against Clonlara, the Clare champions, at 2 o'clock on Sunday. This is from Temple Stadium in Thurles. The key players for Clonlara, Ian Galvin's probably a main player, scoring 3 points. Colm Galvin's another main player. John Conlon is probably the breed and soul behind Clonlara. He's been absolutely excellent in this club championship campaign. But then when you look at Kildangan's side, Billy Seymour's been absolutely brilliant for him in the Tipperary championship. He scored a total of 2 goals and 65 points. 320 of that from play of Kildangan's total came from Paul Flynn, and he's another player to watch in this team. Sean Hayes had a very good championship. Dan O'Mara, Alan Flynn, Declan McGrath, Willie Connors. There's some very good players on the Kildangan team. But it's fair to say, Seamus, two of these sides wouldn't have been expected to make a Munster semi-final or win their county title indeed. So to reach an Ulster final, or sorry, a Munster final for one of these sides would be huge.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And this game is very, very difficult to call. Like, it's two sides that, you're right, have kind of punched above their weight. Like, you would have expected at the start of the championship that Ballyhale would have come out of Clare. Like, that's the first one that you're kind of surprised that it's not Ballyhale in this position. And then if it's not to be them, you would have been maybe looking at an Aero Guinness, you know, with the likes of Shane O'Donnell and people like that. But it's Clonlara, and they've been absolutely fantastic to get to this point from here. You know, the victory over Crushing in particular was really impressive for me. John Conlon's been outstanding. The Galvins have been brilliant. Colm Galvin looks good. I wonder if Brian Lohan's looking at him and thinking, you know, there's a jersey there for you, like, come back. On the other side, Kildangan, you're right, Billy Seymour, absolutely fantastic. The former Willie Connors as well in the Tipperary final replay, he was outstanding. It'll be interesting to see if he gets put in the same position again. I would imagine he will. But John Conlon's positioning for Clonlara is very interesting as well. He tends to pick up centre forward. So it's really, really interesting. Alan Fink. Very good. That was interesting. That comment as well was very, very interesting. I mean, talk about taking aim. But now that's more of an incentive for someone like Alan Flynn that, like, make your success undeniable. If they go and win a Munster club championship or something, he'll have to bring a few of them in then.
Will definitely. And Kildangan obviously did very well in the Tipperary Championship to beat Turles Sarsfields. They've played Turles Sarsfields 3 times in the Tipperary Championship. They didn't lose any of them. And that shows resilience and fairness to the Kildangan team. But who are you predicted to win this game? Like, I'm going to Kildangan myself. I tricked the Clare fans there. I'm going to go for Kildangan to win this game because I just feel they have the stronger team at the moment. And Clonlara came out of Clare probably more unexpectedly than Kildangan did out of Tipperary. But what do you think yourself? Do you think Clonlara could pull it off, or could Kildangan do it? And let's not forget, Kildangan, the last time they won a Tipperary Championship, they didn't have the privilege to get into a Munster Championship because of COVID, obviously. They won it in 2020. So will they take their chance this time?
I think they will. I think Kildangan, for me, are going to take this. Look, I wouldn't write off Clonlara. they wouldn't have got to this stage if they didn't have something about them. But, and they absolutely do, I just feel like Killadangan probably have the stronger 15. And the one thing that is very apparent is that is what wins you games. You're like, the individual stars don't necessarily win the games. And like, hence why like Napier got Limerick champions and not Patrick Swell, because Patrick Swell have probably three of the best five hurlers in the country. But yet, it was still, the game was still won by Napier. So I will lean towards Killadangan for this game. I just think the like the form of Billy Seymour, he will punish Condara for any mistakes that they're making. Willie Connors as well, his deployment in the halfback line will be crucial. Alan Flynn as well has pretty much dominated the midfield in every game that he's played. I will lean towards Killadangan for this, but I wouldn't be surprised if Condara take it. But if I had to nail my colours to the mast, I will go Killadangan narrowly.
Exactly, I'm going to go for Killadangan to win this game as well. And before we get on to the next game, another comment here. Dave Sweeney, Quigley, Allen and Paul Flynn, Seymour Hayes, Barry Hogan, all of intercounty experience and more even. Barry Hogan, the goalkeeper as well, he'll be vital at the weekend as well, I'd imagine. And he's saying Willie Connors too as well. And obviously we talked in detail there about Willie Connors. He's an outstanding hurler himself. And wow, we'll go on to the next game now. And it's a cracker. It is an absolute cracker to look forward to here. The Piercing from Limerick against Ballygunner from Waterford, 4 o'clock, TG Carr. Doesn't need much of an introduction to this game. Out of the three favourites for the All-Ireland, according to Paddy Power, these two sides are in it, alongside St. Thomas's from Galway. You look at Ballygunner's form, they beat Sarsfield 220 to 9 points. And we talked depth about Cork Hurling, check that podcast if you didn't last weekend. But the form of Ballygunner in that game was just frighteningly good. Horace Manning was in brilliant form. Desi Hutchinson obviously was. Patrick Fitzgerald, the young gun himself, was absolutely outstanding. Peter Hogan got his goal in that game too. And they've really brushed aside everybody that's come across their way in Waterford or indeed Sarsfield and Cork. The Piercing though will not be pushed over. So you look at they got out of the Limerick Championship. They beat Doon in a penalty shootout in the semi-final. They beat Patrick Swell in the final, a team that contained Keane Lynch, Dermot Burns and Aaron Galland, as well documented. You have Adrian Breen there, Peter Casey, Conor Boylan, Ronan Lynch. And let's not forget, the Piercing were ahead of Ballygunner at halftime last year in the meeting in the semi-final. They didn't close it out that time. But can they right the wrongs and beat Ballygunner this Sunday?
Yeah, you want me to nail my colours to the mast? I think whoever takes this will win the whole thing. I truly believe that. I think that these two sides are just fantastic hurling teams. And you look at Ballygunner, like, Ballygunner, talk about making a statement. Like, I know that Sarsfields didn't turn up, but the way Ballygunner beat them was, like, a statement of intent that they are coming to take back their title that they lost last year when Ballyhale Shamrocks beat them. It's one of those things that, like, it is unbelievable. Like, there you go, 13 of their starting 15 have played Waterford in the Championship. Like, they're seriously, seriously strong. And it's not even just who. Just the numbers, but it's like who out of those guys. You've got Stephen O'Keefe, who's the best goalkeeper Waterford have had, I think, since the turn of the millennium. They have Pádraig Mahony, one of the most consistent free takers that we've seen in the game in the last 20 years, I'd say. You've got Desi Hutchinson, who's one of the most deadly inside forwards in the country. You've got Patrick Fitzgerald, who is one of the most exciting talents in the country. You've got the Mahoney brothers, like Kevin, Mikey, Philip. You've got Barry Coughlin there, like such experience. Peter Hogan as well. Like unbelievable depth of talent around the field. And then on the Napiercing side, you've got like Peter Casey. You've got Will O'Donoghue, if he comes back in the Championship. I know he's injured. But you have like Jerome Boylan, Connor Boylan. So much, like Mike Casey at the back, just talent upon talent upon talent. And I genuinely am confident that if Napiercing can overturn Ballygunner, I don't see anybody stopping them. If Ballygunner beat Napiercing, I don't see anybody stopping them. I know O'Loughlin Gales are strong. I know St. Thomas's have improved from last season. I know Nafina are a bit of a dark horse as well, especially if they get Donal Burke back. But I think these two are the best. And I can't wait to see them lock horns on Sunday.
Definitely so, and they are absolutely outstanding sides. And check out the Limerick Voice this week. I might do a pre. I'll probably do a preview by the end of the week on this game, this mouth-watering game, obviously because the Pearse are Limerick side, and hopefully from a Limerick Voice point of view that they win the game this Sunday. But a comment coming in here about the Pearse, from the same guy that's been commenting throughout the video anyway, but great to get the comments in. Drone Boyle, and big loss on the defence for the Pearse and Limerick panelists. The key's a big loss. Will O'Donoghue actually played the county final against Patrick's Will. So, like, you would imagine he'd be back in. And another comment in here, David Dempsey, Connor Boyle, and Kevin Downs. Kevin Downs is another one. Experienced campaigner from the Limerick team in years gone by. Adrian Breen, Peter Casey, that's some forward line. It is. It really is. And they definitely test the Ballygunner all the way. But, like, what was it really that denied the Pearse winning the game last year against Ballygunner? I know Ballygunner are an outstanding side, but it seemed like the Pearse were in control at halftime, and then somehow Ballygunner put a load of the fire. So what did the Pearse need to do differently from that time last year to this year to stake a claim in this game?
I wouldn't be 100% sure. I think it was Ballygunner's kind of experience and know-how that definitely came to the fore. Like, they'd... I don't think we can underestimate just how much getting that pressure off their back of winning an All-Ireland Club Championship must have done for Ballygunner. I know they ended up falling short to Ballyhale in the semi-final, but they were seen as, how has this club team not won an All-Ireland Club Championship yet with the players that they've had? And then for Harry Ruddle to stick that goal in the net, it was such a huge moment for Ballygunner to finally break that glass ceiling and become champions. So I feel like that made them stick their chests out, be confident so that when it comes down to the last quarter, 20 minutes, half, and if they're in trouble, I feel like they believe in themselves more than they did before they won the All-Ireland Club Championship, because they're like, yeah, we've been around the block, been there, done that. And for the Pearse, while a lot of them have had success in the past, particularly at county level, as a club, they haven't broke the glass ceiling much over the last 10 years. So these lads have yet to get through that glass ceiling together. And maybe against Ballygunner, when it came down to it and it was on who blinked first, the Pearse did. And this year, I feel like they'll be absolutely determined not to blink first this time. I think this one has gone down right to the wire. I cannot see this being more than a score between the two of them.
So who are you backing? The Pearse or Ballygunner?
It's so hard because you're always looking at it and saying, well, Ballygunner mopped the floor with Sarsfields, but how good are Ballygunner if Sarsfields just rolled over for them? Like, they didn't put it up to them. Nobody in Waterford put it up to them. The Pearse have had to battle and fight their way out of Limerick. Like, they really did scrape out Limerick. And it's not a, like, a dodgy thing where they looked bad. It's just that the quality of opposition this year. Like, their game against Doon was a cracker. And they got out of it and managed to get through the final against Patrick's Well. Looked better in the final against Patrick's Well as well, by the way. But then they come up against this Ballygunner side. And you're like, when it comes down to the last 10 minutes, who's got the dog in them this time? I've kind of said Ballygunner from the start, but the more I talk about it, the more I kind of think about it, the more I can see a route to victory there for the Pearse. It's really, really difficult to call. I actually don't know who I'd tip to. I'll go with Ballygunner just because I've gone with them from the start. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Pearse win, to be 100% honest. And that's not me sitting on the fence. I really think that every great dynasty kind of has to have its end. And Ballygunner are actually, the majority of them are actually on the older side. That they are in the 30s, like Pádraig Mahony is, Philip Mahony is, Barry Coughlin is, Stephen O'Keefe is. And you do look at Kilcoo, for example, losing to Scotstown, and you're like, are they going to be back the way they were? Could this be that for Ballygunner? Ballyhale Shamrocks have already been gone. If the Pearse win this game, that shakes up the entire thing, because the two clubs that have dominated are both gone then.
Yeah, it's going to be an absolutely entertaining game. You're going for Ballygunner slightly by a point. And yeah, that's the slightest you could go with it. But because I'm with the Limerick boys at the moment, I go to University of Limerick, and because the Patrick are just a superb team, and I've said Ballygunner from the start as well, but I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go to the Patrick. This group of players might do enough to get over the line, and they have brilliant players. Will O'Donoghue back is massive as well. Like him in that team, like he'll do a brilliant job at sweeping. He'd be absolutely outstanding, you know. So I'm gonna back it. I'm gonna say the Pearshick to win this game, but obviously this is a point either way. It's an incredible game, and definitely one to worth keep an eye on TG Carr this Sunday. The last hurling game of the weekend, then we'll go over this briefly. No offense to the Ulster Championship, but we don't know much about it. It's Rory Oak crushing Dáil against St. Patrick's Portaferry in the Ulster Senior Hurling Championship semi-final on Sunday at 4 p.m. on Ulster GAA TV. And the winners of this play, Slot Neil from Derry, decides, just for context, Rory Oak from Antrim and Portaferry from Down. So, like, Portaferry have some decent players themselves. Obviously, the Sand brothers and Owen and Doughty are very good forwards themselves. You have Caelan Taggart at centre-back. He's a very good player. Rory O'Christian Dáil obviously have the main man himself in Neil McManus at centre-forward. You have Scott Walsh there. You have Paddy Burke. They have some decent players, Rory O'Christian Dáil. And as well, they beat Lochiel Shamrocks in the final. And that was a championship with Dunloy. And it's Dunloy obviously reached the All-Ireland final last year to play Ballyhale Shamrocks. So, like, this is... You would have to imagine Rory O'Crushing Dáil get over the line this one, considering the history of Antrim sides coming out against Down sides. But do you give Portaferry any chance?
Not much, to be honest. And I don't mean that as a disrespect to them. It's just what I was really, really impressed by Rory O'Crushing Dáil in the victory against Lochiel Shamrocks. Because, as you said rightfully, Lochiel had mopped the floor with Dunloy. Like, not just beaten them, they'd absolutely annihilated them, to the point where then I was thinking, well, Lochiel are going to win Antrim. And then they lost to Cushing Dáil, and I didn't expect that to happen at all. So, look, I think it's destined to be Rory O'Cushing Dáil against Lochiel in that Ulster final. I think that's the way that we'll see who the top team is in Ulster. And I don't mean that in a way to put disrespect to Portaferry. Portaferry should be taking that narrative and using it to their advantage. They should be saying, here, everyone's writing us off. We're still in the championship here. If they can knock out Cushing Dáil, they'll get the eyes of the country on them. Is nobody's expecting them to win this game. So I will go with Cushing Dáil. I do respect like the likes of Caelan Taggart and all that, fantastic players for Portaferry, but I am going Cushing Dáil on this.
Yeah, I am as well. I'm going to go Rory O'Crushing Dáil to win that game. And just before we leave the hurling, I'll put up this image again. So, according to our predictions, it'll be Kildangan against, well, it's a toss of a coin, really, Ballygunner or Lapeirchik. We're going for different predictions than that. And Rory O'Crushing Dáil against Slot Neil. But looking at, I know it's an early prediction, Seamus, but looking at that bracket, who do you think is going all the way?
As I said, whoever comes out of Ballygunner versus Lapeirchik, I think they'll both be too strong for whoever comes out of Clonlara versus Kildangan. I think they'll both be too strong for St. Thomas's. And then into the final, I don't see anyone on that side of the draw that I would actually back to beat Ballygunner or Napiershig. So, yeah, I think whoever wins that game takes it.
Final question, Horry. Can Cormac Cullahy, could they do anything? Like, you have Adam Sweeney there, you have... Your man Charlie Mitchell, the off the under 20 as well. Like, they've good team themselves, so could they cause a shock?
They could cause a shock, but I don't think they're going to win the whole thing. I think, show me against O'Loughlin Gales. As I said, if they mop the floor with O'Loughlin Gales, then I'm on the hype train. If they do, but Naive Aina never turned up. Like, they were shocking against Kilcoma Cullahy. So. And that's, you know, a Wexford champions, like, don't get me wrong, the Wexford champions, but also a side that, in other terms, hadn't played a competitive championship game in 2 months. Or 3 months, was it?
Yeah, 3 months.
Like, that's mental. So, like, yeah, I know they got the victory, absolutely fair play to them, but I think Wexford's championship structure absolutely screws the teams that come out of it. So, I'll believe it when I see them, if I see them beat O'Loughlin Gales.
Yeah, and it should be interesting in the next few weeks. Obviously, Ballygunner and the Pearse League, obviously the winner of that will be front runners for the All Ireland, I'm sure. We'll move on to football now before we end, and we'll start off with the Connacht semi-final, which is Cork Finn against Ballinlass, Stephenites, Galway against Mayo. Connacht semi-final on Saturday at 2 p.m. is RT1, not RT2. I'm not sure why they changed the channel there, but there you go. It's going to be on the same channel as the news later on in the evening. But this game, it's quite interesting. Ballinlass Stephenites obviously beat Fulham Irish 3-11 to 5 points last weekend. It was a comprehensive win, as we expected on this podcast last week. Carfin, obviously, are dark horses for the All-Ireland, and rightly so. So, like, considering Ballinlass, did Ballinlass' performance against Fulham Irish give you confidence that it could overcome Carfin? I think Carfin would win the game, this game, but can Ballinlass put it up to them?
Yeah, Ballinlass can put it up to them. But I don't think that you can say, oh, because they beat Fulham Irish. Look, they were expected to beat Fulham Irish. They did. That's it. That's just one to kind of, that's like on Monopoly, if you pass go, collect your 200 and move on. Like, you can't make anything really of that win. You beat a team that you were supposed to beat. Curraghfin are going to be so different to that. Like, what I would say is, it's like a boxer having a tune-up fight in between fighting the guy that he's supposed to fight in the rematch. That's what this is. They had a fight. They had a, you know, a warm-up game, in my opinion, with no disrespect to Fulham Irish. They had definitely had one eye on the Curraghfin game. Paragahora wasn't there. Evan Regan wasn't there. You'd argue, were they nursing injuries, making sure that they don't, you know, that they get everybody through the game, wrap their best players in cotton wool and get ready for war against Curraghfin, because this is what this one is going to be. It's going to be an absolute battle between these two sides. Don't expect conditions to be that great. So it's not going to be a pretty game of football. Ballinlass did win a battle against Brafe. It was a hell of an ugly game. But they came out the other side. So if it goes down to that, they will be confident that they can get over the line because they did against Brafe. But I will lean towards Curraghfin. I think Curraghfin have more shooters. I think they have more match winners in their side. You look at the form of the likes of Gary Sice. I will lean towards Curraghfin because of the fact that by beating Mike Cullen, it's like all of a sudden Curraghfin are back. And if they think that they're back, they'll be confident of not just beating Ballinlass, but of going all the way.
Exactly so, and I'd back Curraghfin to win this game as well, and definitely to go on an all-order run. We'll put the bracket after we go through these games in general. And the second Connacht semi-final is between St. Bridget's of Roscommon and Mohill of Leitrim. It's on a 1:30 on Connacht GAA TV. Like, St. Bridget's looked good against Kildare Strandhill last week, but Brian Stack went off with an injury, as we mentioned on your podcast earlier on this week. Will he come back? That's going to be the big question. You have Ben O'Carroll, who's in excellent form at the moment for St. Bridges, and they did very, very well to beat Kildare Strandhill quite easily in that quarterfinal. But Mohill, they have an excellent forward themselves, a keeper. He's probably the best player that Leitrim have, and Mohill have him. So, like, this is going to be a difficult game for St. Bridges. Who are you calling in this one?
Yeah, it would be definitely, I think, more difficult than the Kildare Strandhill game. Like, Eamon O'Hara is at the helm of Mohill. He is a competitor into his core, into his soul. He's a competitor. He is not going to let those lads, you know, roll over for St. Bridget's in this game. They're going to make it very difficult. And with Keith Byrne there, they have a sharpshooter. But I do still think that Bridget's will be too strong for them. Like, Bridget's really bullied Kildare in that first half. Like, 9 points to nil at half time. Like, what on earth do you say to your team after that first half? Like, the game's over at that point. You didn't score in 30 minutes of football. And you're county champions. That must have been a hugely demoralising half-time dressing room. Mohill coming into this game will be fully aware of that. And I think they will make sure that Bridges don't build up that big a lead on them. But I still think Bridges will get ahead of them and the game will be forced to be played on Bridges' terms. I think they'll win. I think they won't. I don't think they'll blow them away. I think they'll win something like 15 points to 9 or something, or 15 points to a goal and 7, or something like that, where Mohill do put it up to them, but Bridges ultimately get the victory.
Yeah, I think Bridges will win this game as well. I would have said Mohill before the Kildare Strandhill game, but having seen what Bridges did to that Sligo team, I was like, Yeah, they were a serious side, and they will definitely go a long way in the club championship. They could even win Connacht. We'll have to see in the next few weeks. We'll move on to Leinster before we put up the bracket. And is the first Leinster semi-final is quite interesting, actually, St. Lomond's of Westmeath and against Naas Kildare on a 1:30 live on Clubber. And before we get into the semi-finals, actually, I wanted to ask you a question, Seamus. These games are not in Croke Park this year. Right decision or wrong decision?
I'm kind of neutral on that. I don't really think that it's right or wrong. I think it's just kind of is what it is. Like, I don't know. Would you say it's right or wrong?
I think it's right, considering the way Kilmacud dismantled Port Arlington last year. I think Kilmacud were much more used to the pitch than the likes of Port Arlington or Naas or whatever. So I think at the start, I was like, okay, club teams being in Croke Park, I think it's good exposure. It's good for the club game in general. But the way Kilmacud kind of dismantled teams there, I was thinking maybe it'll even the playing field just a little bit. We'll see in Kilmacud's game. We'll talk about that in a bit. But that's just my opinion on it.
Yeah, no, that definitely is. And look, Kilmacud would be a lot more used to playing on that field. But I think it's more on the type of thing that, like, they will play there for the Leinster final. So interesting to see.
It is definitely. We'll discuss this first game versus St. Lomond's against Naas. Like, it is an interesting game because Lomond's obviously have Ronan O'Toole, John Heslin, Sam McCartan, some excellent players there. Naas have probably been the best Leinster team besides Kilmacud Croaks, arguably, in the Leinster Championship over the last few seasons. So, difficult one to call this.
It is difficult because, like, St. Lomond's have the spine of the Westmeath team. That's why them not winning Westmeath last year was such a surprise that the Downs managed to come out. Naas have been quietly fantastic in Kildare, like 3 titles in a row. They've built a bit of a dynasty there. I think they were the first side in Kildare to do 3 in a row since the 1980s or something, was it? Or 1960s, or it was something mental like that. And look, they still have players like Eamon Callaghan, Owen Doyle. Like, the experience there is incredible. And you mix that with, you know, the talent of the likes of Darragh Kirwan and Alex Byrne, who've emerged in the last few years. And, like, when you look at the team that they went against Selbridge, like, Selbridge on paper had a better side. They had more lads who had county experience. They had Mick O'Grady, Paddy Brophy, like, players like this that were, you know, notable county experience. But Naas just were better on the day. And they just got the victory. And, like, coming into this game against Lomond's, it's so interesting because it's a kind of a similar scenario. Like, on paper, Lomond's have the more standout names. Like, if you were to pick the 3 best footballers out of this, you'd probably take Darragh Kirwan, but then you take John Heslin and Ronan O'Toole. And, like,
yeah,
so 2 of them are with Lomond's, and it's going to be such an interesting contest, this one. I probably will lean towards Naas, just because they've a bit more experience being out in the Leinster Championships, and I think that they are expecting of themselves that I think the goal for them is to try and beat Kilmacud Croaks. I think the goal would have been for them to try and beat Kilmacud Croaks from the start, because I think they would have fully expected Croaks to come out of Dublin. And here they are. Croaks could be waiting for them in the final. Croaks will be waiting for them in the final. So I don't think they're going to let the chance pass them by.
Interesting prediction. I'm going to go for Lomond's in that game. So that's the second one we disagreed on. I just think Lomond's are a very, very good side. Obviously, you mentioned the spoiling that Westmeath team in that team. And then the next game, yeah, RDC Mayors and Kilmacud Croaks in at 1:30. I know it's on an RD, and RDC Mayors, to be fair to them, have Darragh McConnell and the team, Tom Jackson, Liam Jackson. Their team actually won a FAILA that I took part in 2014. They were exceptional that season under 14 level, and I could see the growth in that club. But looking at Kilmacud Croaks, the way they dismantled their oak from Carlo, it was just embarrassing at times. In general, from the TV companies, you don't see anything else with Dodgers and Kilmacud Croaks win, surely.
Yeah, no, Kilmacud have taken this. I think it was one of those things that, like, they're peaking now. I mean, you know this, they're peaking now. Like, they kind of felt like they were stuttering a little bit in the Dublin Championship. They were in first gear for a few games, barely got out of second gear, and now they're in fifth gear. They're motoring now. They smashed Bowden to bits in the Dublin final, like, really put them to the sword. Made it look stupid that Bowden were even tipped by people to beat them. And people were tipping Bowden to win, but not even necessarily. They just expected the Croaks weren't what they were last year. And, like, there's that quote from Israel Adesanya when he defended this title. I know he's not champion anymore, but you know the bit where he's like, y'all must have forgot. Y'all must have forgot. I'm the best or something like listen, that's literally what I feel like Croaks have been like over the last couple of weeks. It's like, you all must have forgot how good we are. Smash Bowden to bits. Era Og didn't get a chance against them. And I was thinking, away day for Croaks, tough conditions. Aero crowd will get involved. You know, you never know. No, no chance. Croaks put it to bed. It was over before it even began. And I think this game will be exactly the same. St. Mary's RD, while they have been fantastic and they do have the Jacksons and they have the, you know, the motivation and the momentum behind them and the belief behind them, not only, but from the trickle-down effect from Loud's success of staying in Division 2 and making a Leinster final, and the confidence that they will get from the fact that they nearly beat Derry in the league, you know, in RD, things like that. They'll get the trickle-down confidence from that, but it's Kilmacud Croaks. You're not catching them. Mullinocta Part 2 is not happening. I would be very confident to say that Croaks will be in the final.
Yeah, exactly. So I know you definitely echo your points there. Kilbecode will easily win that game. We'll just take a quick look at the brackets for the football championship. And a quick prediction from you, Seamus, early on. Who do you think is winning the club championship? Look at Chris there.
Kilmacud Croaks.
You've backed them from the start.
I backed them from the very beginning. Yeah. Don't see anybody stopping them.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Watty Grimm's game. Just a bit of a change of pick there. But we'll move on to the last game.
Does the performance against Carrigan concern you?
It doesn't really, because as you said, we'll say, get rid of that now. But it doesn't really, because, like, as you said, with Kilmacud Croaks, these sorts of teams kick into fifth gear when it matters. And I just feel Watty Grimm's game will kick into fifth gear once the game comes next against Naif Quinlan. I don't think they need to be at their best against Carrigan to beat them, to be honest. So I'd be still confident that Watty Grimm's game will turn us around in particular. But we'll move on to the last game here. The Ulster LGFAF senior final is on Sunday as well. All the other three provincial finals were decided last weekend. And that was Kilcurran Clonburn, Ballymacarbery and Kilmacud Croaks are already in the All-Irelands. Who will be the fourth team and fourth and final team? Clonairn from Armagh or Breda from Down? Clonairn have the likes of Clodagh McCambridge in that team. Tierna Grimes and Nicole Coleman is another brilliant, or Dervla Coleman, should I say, is a very good player. Niamh Henderson, Niamh Murray, some very good Armagh players that are in that Armagh panel already. Breda, obviously, are from County Down. Down are very confident in NGFA at the moment after winning the junior title last August against Limerick. So, and they beat Errol Kieran by 3 goals in the semi final. So, you would expect Clonairn to win this game, but Brady will definitely put it up to them.
Yeah, definitely would lean towards Clonairn on this. As you said, like, you list through the names, there's more inter county experience there at the top level in this Clonairn side, like, particularly Clodagh McCambridge, Tierna Grimes, people like that. And then the Neves that they have in the side, like, there's two or three of them. But in this game, like, they cannot take Breda lightly here. Like, Errol Kieran were definitely caught in the hop, not in terms of the fact that they lost to Breda, but losing to them by 3 goals. I didn't really see that coming. You're looking at it and you're saying this, right? If Clonairn turn up, Clonairn will get the job done. I think, like, Clodagh McCambridge has the defence locked down pretty much for them throughout the championship. Outstanding inter-county player. And then going forward with Coleman, with people like that, with players like that, they have got them over the line up until this point. And, you know, like, the likes now that Dunamoyne aren't there anymore. Dunamoyne, obviously, the side that knocked out Kilmacud Croaks last year in the semi-final, they're gone. Clonairn will take great confidence from that. I think they are the only ones who can stop themselves. I think if they don't turn up, I think Breda have more than enough capability to turn them over. So, but I will still go with Clonairn to take it.
Echo those points as well. I think Clonairn will win that. And just before we leave, what's your bet of the week and player of the week?
Difficult one to say. I think a cheeky bet for player of the week could be Patrick Fitzgerald, Ballygunner. Bet of the week, are we talking here underdogs, like?
Underdogs, yeah.
Either Breda to beat Clonairn or Mohill to beat St. Bridget's.
Interesting, interesting. I'd probably go for a bit of the week. I'm going to go probably Bohol to beat St. Bridget's to keep Burn. Could definitely make a difference there. And player of the week, I'm probably going to go for Billy Seymour from Killadangan. I think he was going to have Stormer in that game against Clonara. But that is the end of the podcast. Give it, the video a like. Subscribe to Gaelic Statsman. Subscribe to Unclear if you haven't already. Thank you, Seamus, for coming on to the podcast today. And for anybody that's tuned in, see y'all later.